Open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 20, and let us read the first 15 verses. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that was a householder, who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a shilling a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing in the marketplace idle. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went out their way. And again he went out the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing. And he said unto them, Why stand ye there all the day idle? And they said unto him, Because no man has hired us. He said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard. And when even had come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, Call the laborers and pay them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a shilling. And when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received every man a shilling. And when they received it, they murmured against the householder, saying, These last have spent but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us. Who hath borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat? But he answered and said unto one of them, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a shilling? Take up that which is thine and go thy way. It is my will to give unto the last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Or is thine eye evil because I am good? And the last shall be first, and the first last.
Have we ever pictured God as a businessman? Does the Bible ever present God as operating anything like a company? In Matthew 20 this morning, I wish to propose that both ideas are present. God is pictured not only as a businessman, but God is pictured as an employer. From what Keith read, you will notice that Jesus spoke of the kingdom of heaven, and most are well aware of the fact that the kingdom of heaven is something that belongs to God. In Matthew 20, the kingdom of heaven is compared to a householder. Now, a householder, if you're not familiar with that term, he was a landowner, a property owner. The landowner in Matthew 20 happened to own a vineyard, and this is made known in 1C of Matthew 20, the end of the verse. Workers were needed to come and to perform some kind of task in this vineyard. Perhaps it was time to harvest grapes or to do something else. From what is said in the parable, there were a number of workers who were hired for the task in the vineyard. The first, according to the scripture reading, were hired early in the morning. Now, some here should be able to look at this passage and say, yeah, that's right, I appreciate this verse. We have some people who get up quite early, and this man was out hiring people first thing in the morning. The people who were hired, they were offered a shilling for a day's work, and this was the average pay. It was the going rate for a day's work. This man did not have enough help, so at 9 a.m. he went back to the work area, the work pool, and he hired some more people. The Bible says at the next hour, that would be at 3 additional people were hired. And you can find that in verse 5. Then the Bible says that there was only 1 hour left in the workday. At 5 p.m., an hour before the Jews quit working for the day, additional people were hired. This is made known in verse 6, and the Bible describes this as the 11th hour. Finally, the last hour of the day came. For those people who had put in several hours or a small amount of time, it was time to pay them, so all of the men were brought together. Each one was paid, and the Bible says that each received the same wage. Now, this parable has been used by a number of people in a number of ways, but my use of it today is going to involve a variety of points. I think there's some very practical things that we can point out from this parable, several ways that we can apply what Jesus said. Consider, please, one of the first things that we are told by this parable. There was a landowner who made an agreement with some men. In a similar way, if this landowner represents God, it's fair to say that God has and still does make agreements with mankind. In fact, as you look at this parable, you will find the word agreed in verse 2. At the times we use the words covenant or agreement. There is an Old Testament. There is an Old Covenant. And all the Old Testament was, it was an agreement between God and the Jewish people. When we talk about the New Testament or the New Covenant, we are essentially saying that God has a new agreement with people. And this agreement is, of course, for all people. It is not limited to a particular race like the Old Testament was. God's agreement with mankind is furthermore extensive. This man apparently was quite clear in what he wanted done and what he would pay. That was all agreed upon up front. When we look at the New Testament as far as an agreement, we find that it is quite comprehensive. It deals with salvation. What must I do to please God? God has given us all the information. How must we worship? The agreement called the New Testament provides all of that information. Marriage, divorce, parenting. God's agreement with man has even included information about that. The behavior of children, what is right and wrong, how we are to treat people, and what we should accomplish in life. The Bible that we have is an agreement between God and mankind. This agreement, of course, is one that we can accept, we can internalize, we can follow it, or we can reject it. As you look at Matthew 20, you find that these workers were not forced to work. This man was not compelling people to work. He did not take a stick and say, okay, you have to come down to my vineyard, and I am forcing you to work. No. The Bible shows in Matthew 20 that this was a choice that these people had. They could either choose to work for this man or choose not to. And folks, this is the same way that the New Testament operates. We can either accept what is taught in God's Word and obey the gospel, or we can reject it. God leaves the choice up to us. God has not predetermined or predestined us to take this course or that course. The choice is wholly and solely ours. Furthermore, it may be said that when we talk about God's agreement with man, that is Scripture, the agreement is fair. As we heard from the scripture reading, the landowner said, I will pay you whatever is right. I will pay you what is fair. And this was done. The men did receive a fair wage. Now, there were some people who thought that they should have received more, but the Bible says that they did receive a fair level of pay for what they did. Those who started out early in the morning were paid a fair wage. They were paid the going rate for a day's pay. And those who began to work at the middle of the day and at the end of the day, they also were treated fairly. There is not a single person in this story who was cheated. Not a single one. Even the people who worked all day long in the heat of the day, they received a wage which was fair. When we think about the agreement that God has made with mankind, it is a fair agreement. You can start reading in Matthew and you can read through the book of Jude, and every page reflects fairness. How do we know? We know because there is not a single race on the planet at the present time who is preferred by God to any other race. Now that's fairness in the ultimate sense of the word. We find that as we look at God's agreement with man, it does not exalt anyone because of position or intelligence. It's fair in that respect. The financial standing of people, which often matters so much in different places in our world, is irrelevant when we come to Scripture. God's agreement with mankind is fair in every way. Not only is the agreement between man and God extensive, not only is it fair, not only is it something that man can accept or reject, but the Bible teaches in places like Matthew 20, the terms are plain. These men understood where they were to work, they understood what they were to do, and they understood what they were going to get paid. The terms were laid out up front. There's some agreements in life that perhaps you have had, depending on what you have done. You've gone to a lawyer and said, we need help. We need you to interpret this for us. Check out the contract. Evaluate this and tell us whether or not we should sign on the dotted line. There's some agreements which are really designed for people in the legal profession to deal with and not the average man in the street. But when we look at the agreement in Matthew 20 and the agreement with God and man, we find that it is not complicated. There are some agreements which do require study. Some parts of God's agreement with man need to be carefully read. Nevertheless, God's agreement with man does not need a lawyer or a religious professional to understand it. See if you do not agree. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That understandable? I think all of us would say yes. Acts 2:38, the Bible says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Understandable? I believe that most would say that it is. Speaking of understanding, this point should be made. God is the one who created this agreement. Because God is the one who authored this agreement, He makes all of the terms, all of the conditions. In the parable, this owner set the conditions. He told these people what he was willing to pay. I'm willing to pay a fair wage, the going rate. He told these people where to work. All of the conditions were made known to the people. He even established the proper quitting time and how and where these people were going to get paid. He said to the man who was the accountant or the steward of the money, bring the people here and pay them. He hired the people to work in a specific place, his vineyard. In a similar way, man's agreement with God, that is the Bible, or we should say God's agreement with man, is somewhat one-sided. Because of the nature of the agreement, God makes the rules. Because of that, no preacher has any right to try to make the rules. No board, no headquarters has the right to make the rules. And there are a number of good people that I have met over the years who, even though this is what the New Testament teaches, they have not followed this part of God's agreement. I have found a number of religious people, sometimes preachers, sometimes other people, who come to God's agreement and they say, well, you know, there is this part that we do not like. Or there is this part that we think it could be done in a better way. And they try to replace it with something else. That's bad news. And that's wrong. And God does not permit that. Suppose for just a moment, since a number of people here work outside the home, suppose that at work, someone, perhaps even you, tried to alter an agreement. Let's say that the company that you work for, your spouse works for, has a policy concerning illness. If you get sick, you are supposed to call in to the plant office or wherever it is and to tell them that you're sick, you're not coming in today, or perhaps not for a couple of days. But on the day that you get sick, you don't feel like talking to anybody. You don't feel like getting out of bed. You don't feel like picking up the telephone and speaking to anybody. And you decide, because you do not feel well, that you will not stay with company policy. You'll just stay in bed for 3 or 4 days, whatever it takes. You'll finally get better. And then after you have recovered, you will show up and inform the boss that you were ill. You will alter the agreement. Good idea or bad idea? Well, some people might be able to get away with that, but the Bible teaches that God will not allow that. In Revelation 22, 18 and 19, which I will not read, essentially God said, if you add to, or if you take away from my word, my agreement with mankind, I will destroy you. God said no alterations. In other words, his agreement with man is not to be tampered with in any way. There are some people who can tamper with an agreement at work occasionally, or depending upon a person, there seem to be some people who can do that and get away with it. But as you look at Matthew 20 and Revelation 22, the Bible teaches that such is not permissible with God. God has created an agreement with man, and God has said that if we tamper with this agreement, if we try to alter it in some way, we will be destroyed. Someone might say, well, what is the incentive to keep this agreement that God has created with mankind? The answer is that there is a reward. The people in Matthew 20, after they had worked for this man for some of a day or a whole day, they were paid. We should recognize that God does not literally pay his people. The Bible teaches that the salvation that people receive, it is a gift. It is not something that we can earn, deserve, or merit. Salvation is a result of God's grace, according to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and we also have faith, which is obedient, according to Romans 1, verse 5. Christians do, however, if they are willing to enter into the vineyard of God and remain faithful, receive a reward. But the Bible teaches that the reward is more than just eternal life, spending eternity with God. Paul was able to speak of a crown that had been laid up for him. Jesus, you may remember, in the Sermon on the Mount spoke of laying up treasures in heaven, something that we can do. Paul said that the saved would be able to reign with Christ, and Paul also in the letter to the Philippians promised that a body like the Lord's would be given to those people who stay with God's agreement. In life, when people hear of a job which promises good pay, good benefits, and decent working conditions, there is not usually any difficulty in finding applicants for such a position. People generally will show up in droves, and the stack of applications is usually quite high. Too many people want good jobs. But have you ever noticed that even though that's the way that things operate in the world, that's not what happened in this particular parable? There was a good job that was available. This man, he was not trying to get people to work for minimum wage. I mean, this man was willing to pay the going rate. He was willing to pay a decent wage. This man was willing to pay a wage that someone could live on, were this wage being received day after day after day. A good job was available, a decent wage was available, and yet the Bible shows that this man had to continue to go back to the area where workers gathered to find people to come in and work in the vineyard. First of all, the Bible says that this man went out early in the morning, and he found some people there who were willing to work, and he hired them. But he didn't have enough help. So the Bible tells us that this man had to go back 3 hours later at 9 a.m. He found some more workers who were willing to help, and they were hired. But that was not enough. There was still a shortage. So this man came back at noon, and then he came back at 3 and hired some more people because he still did not have enough help. And then the Bible says an hour before quitting time, the shop was about ready to close, and he comes back for one additional time, and he hires some more workers. There can perhaps be no better description of God than what we have in Matthew chapter 20. God is always looking for people who will follow his agreement with mankind. There are some people in life who are willing to start following God early in the morning, and we should be grateful for these people. We have individuals here who have become a Christian at a very early age in life, perhaps in the teenage years, perhaps even prior to that. And that's a wonderful thing. That's the right time to start working. Others are like the people who started to work towards the middle of the day, around noon, 3. They're people who, in the middle of their life, they decide to become a Christian, and that's a good thing. And then there are some others who, at the end of their life, decide to obey the gospel. Occasionally, this passage is used to defend deathbed repentance. That is, a person is on the deathbed and they want to confess Christ or something like that. But I would encourage you, if that passage is used by someone in this way, to at least entertain this. Notice, please, that the final workers who were hired served at least 1 hour. They did not work long, but if this passage is to have any bearing on deathbed repentance, that fact does need to be pointed out. These people did have a chance to certainly enter into the vineyard, and the idea that we somehow get close to death and people do not really comply with all of God's conditions, but because they have an interest in the vineyard and they can't quite make all of the things done that they need to do, they're in a right relationship with God. That's stretching this in a way which does not seem to be permissible. As we look at the people who entered into the vineyard of God, we find that it was right to do this as soon as possible. And this is consistent with what the Bible teaches in passages like 2 Corinthians 6:2. Paul said, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Until the return of the Lord, God is going to be looking for workers to come into his vineyard and work. If you're someone who has not responded to the offer that God has made with man in his word, please know this. As you look at Matthew chapter 20, you find that the workday for these men eventually ended. Gradually, the hours, the minutes, continue to expire. Just as it does for those who work in the secular realm, the workday is limited. And the same thing is true for you and me. Our days, our time is expiring. And if we choose to not make a decision to embrace the agreement that God has given to mankind, the time will come when, just as the day ended for these workers, our time is going to end. It's going to expire, and we will not be ready for eternity. If we choose to act on the agreement that is called the Bible, we need to realize that not everything is going to be easy as a Christian. If you have kept your Bible open to Matthew 20, you might take one more look at verse 12, saying, "These last have spent but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, who," notice this, "have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." I'm not exactly sure what these people were doing, but whatever the job was, it was very difficult. They said, "We have definitely put in a hard day's work." They were paid well, but the work that they did was not easy. If we choose to bind ourselves to the agreement that is called the Bible, it's not going to be easy. If we are trying to live the best life that we can as a Christian, there are going to be some hardships. The decisions that Christians are forced to make from time to time to be faithful, the choices that we must make from time to time, things that we do, perhaps things that we give up, renounce, there are going to be some hard times if we choose to accept the agreement that God has given to mankind. As we look at this parable, we want to be mindful of the cost. There is a cost to joining ourselves to the agreement that God has given. But we also want to notice another thing about this work. The work that was done was in the landowner's vineyard. What if these men had been hired by this landowner? They had contracted with this man and they said, "Okay, we want to work for you." But after that, they made that agreement. They decided that they would turn around, they would go to their house, and they would work on some project there at the house. They'd re-roof their roof. They would go in and, you know, do some drywall work in the house, whatever it would be. Would the man have paid them? Obviously not. Someone says, well, that's obvious. Why even mention something such as that? You might think that that point is not worthy of mentioning, but I believe that it has a great deal of application. And the sense that it may be applied is this. We have a number of people who become involved in some organizations which are quite good. Perhaps it is 4-H, the Red Cross, the Lions Club. Good works are done. A number of fine activities are accomplished that really help people in so many ways. And one of the ideas that seems to be so prevalent in the world is that people believe that they will somehow be able to stand before God on the day of judgment and to say, well, I was a good person. I was involved in all kinds of activities. Just look at the list of works that I have done. Surely God will not deny that people were kind, good, and benevolent, that they were involved in a number of activities. But the question is, if we have been hired by God, if we have become a Christian, where are our works being done? Which vineyard are we working in? You see, God is not the author of the 4-H Club. He did not invent the Red Cross. He is not the one who has come up with the Lions Club or anything else. And if we hope to have any possible eternal benefit with God, then we need to be sure that if we become a Christian, while we may be involved in some other activities or works that are good, are activities that are going to offer a spiritual benefit, that they are done in the right vineyard. And that's going to be God's kingdom. Matthew 20 and verse 1. Let's not be deceived by believing that we can become a Christian and all of the works that we may do outside the vineyard are somehow going to have great spiritual benefit for us, because it would be just like this man hiring people for the vineyard to come in and work for him, and then they go and they work somewhere else. He would not pay them. Those activities, though they may have been very laborious, would certainly not benefit them when it came time for payday. We, as we look at this chapter, want to ask ourselves some questions. Are we, first of all, a faithful and an active member of the church? Earlier, I quoted Acts 2:38. There were some people who came to the point in life where they believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. But they understood that that belief was not enough. So they said, what must we do? A man inspired by God said, repent. You have been living in a way which is contrary to the ways of God. You need to change. And then he said, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. The Bible says in verse 41 of Acts 2, there were some people who received his word. They believed. They were willing to enter into the kingdom, into the vineyard of God. And the Bible says once they received that word, they were willing to listen to it. They were baptized. And then as you continue down to the 47th verse in Acts 2, the Bible says the Lord, the owner of the vineyard, added to them, or brought them into the church, as the King James translation tells us. As we look at Acts 2 and Matthew chapter 20, we know that the people in the vineyard were paid. Surely we are people who want to be in the kingdom. We want to be paid in the sense that God will reward us with eternal life. And once we're in that kingdom, we need to be people who are willing to work. So today we close with two questions. Number one, are we a Christian? Have we entered into the vineyard of God as the people did in Acts chapter 2 almost 2,000 years ago? The process is still the same. And if we have, are we people who are working in the right place? If we're not working in the right place, today we can change that. If we have not yet come into the Lord's kingdom, into his vineyard, that's surely something that we want to do, we need to do, and today we can do. If there's a way that we can help you to become a Christian or something else, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.